Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. And most American diets are low in important omega-3 oils. Omega-3 oils are the vital components of fish that provide numerous health benefits. Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems supply concentrated amounts of these omega-3 oils that are needed to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. Each great-tasting Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gem soft gel contains 1,250 milligrams of fish oil from deep, cold-water fish. That supplies a full 800 milligrams of omega-3s, all in only one easy-to-swallow soft gel. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for they are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Ask for Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems at your favorite natural food retailer today.
U-Theory is a family-owned and operated supplement brand on a mission to inspire wellness in all. From farm to shelf, quality is at the heart of our products made in Southern California. Try new U-Theory Daily Fat Burner for healthy weight management. U-Theory Turmeric to support healthy inflammation response. U-Theory Collagen for hair, skin, nails, tendons, and ligaments. And Ashwagandha to help reduce stress, boost overall well-being and clarity. U-Theory, made for all of you.
Welcome to Here's to Your Health with Joshua Lane. Here's to Your Health discusses the current thinking in wellness, bringing you the most influential thinkers in beauty, fitness, and longevity. Your host, Joshua Lane, was part of the Dr. Ann Wigmore team that helped bring wheatgrass, sprouts, and raw foods to a worldwide audience. And now the host of Here's to Your Health, Joshua Lane.
Welcome to this edition of Here's to Your Health. I'm your host, Josh Lane. And I'm happy to say that my guest is Ingrid Newkirk. And Ingrid Newkirk is the founder of the organization People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And PETA is one of the most influential, if not the most influential, animal rights organization founded in 1980 by Ingrid to really help move the needle forward so that most Americans really feel that, you know, dogs and cats and pigs and goats and sheep and horses, you know, they all deserve our protection, our thought, our understanding about their capacities. And many people have helped move this forward, but Ingrid really, the one who really started the ball rolling. Ingrid Newkirk, welcome to Here's to Your Health.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
No, I'm very happy to have you on. I really, you know, admire the work you've done, the things you've accomplished. You have a new book out, which is kind of, I think, lighthearted. 250 Vital Things Your Cat Wants You to Know, which really is a very pleasant little book to read during the holiday season. And if we could jump right in, when your cat no longer uses the litter box, what does that mean?
Oh, that's a very important thing.
Yes, it is.
Some people scold their cat when that happens, and that's pointless. That's like talking to Cindy Crawford about politics. It doesn't work.
Right.
And it's very rude because your cat may be trying to give you a message, probably is. The first message they might be trying to give you is, are you not cleaning my litter box as much as you should? Because cats are fastidious. They're so clean, they put most human beings to shame, and they don't want to put their pristine little paws into something that is in the least bit icky. And who can blame them? We wouldn't want to do that ourselves. So at least twice a day, the cat's box should be cleared of anything in it. And if you see them go in right behind them and make sure it's clean. And at least once a week, the whole thing should be cleaned. I recommend in the book corn cob litter because it's easy to clean and it doesn't clump and cause problems. Well, it does clump, but it doesn't clump in their intestines the way some clay litters do. But the other thing that's more important is it's as important, I should say, because cleaning the litter box is vital, is they may be trying to tell you they have cystitis, which you can't see because you can't see a little drop of blood and urine if it's in the box. So rush to the vet if you need to. Make sure that they're physically all right if they're sending you a message. And one other thing is they sometimes are sending you a message to say, hey, why are you out of the house so much? Or who is that new partner in your life that kicks me off the bed or the couch? I thought I was yours and you loved me, so please pay more attention to me.
Really? So in other words, the cat could be telling you really all of that? Or really?
Yeah, because, of course, we don't speak a word of cat.
Right.
Although I do give some some hints of what we can understand in the book, but they also don't speak. They can't communicate with us in English, or whatever language you speak. So they're trying to find clever ways to draw your attention to something that you need to look at carefully. And sometimes it's a physical problem. You know, if you try to touch a cat and the cat hisses and is upset with you, you can't just say, oh, well, they're grumpy. And I know somebody who did say that. They said, oh, he's getting old and grumpy. Turned out the cat was in pain and didn't want you to touch him because he had a tumor, a brain tumor in that case, and he didn't want you to touch his head. So never just decide, oh, the cat's this, the cat's that. Make sure you're paying close enough attention that their teeth are in good shape, they don't have an ear infection, they're not parasitized, and they don't have cystitis or something like that.
Our guest is Ingrid Newkirk, and Ingrid Newkirk is the founder of the organization People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, in my opinion, the most influential animal rights organization currently operating worldwide, with 6.5 million supporters and members. So it's really a remarkably important organization. And Ingrid has a brand new book out called 250 Vital Things Your Cat Wants You to Know. Now, about cystitis, in your opinion, is cystitis caused by feeding the cats not good quality food?
Nobody really knows. There have been a number of theories about whether it's the ash content or it's the protein content or whatever it is. The thing to do, I think, is to be very wary of giving too much dry food. There are some quite good cat foods you can buy. Most commercial food, I must say, is expensive muck. I hate to say it, but it brings on the same things, obesity, heart problems, kidney failure, as it does in human beings. But I have recipes in the book. You can cook at home for your cat. People shouldn't just go, oh, I'd never do that. Have a look. But also try to make the food not only more interesting, but healthier. For example, cats, like anybody else, like variety. But you can add healthy things like a little bit of parsley or thyme, crushed garlic to the food. Some cats really like melon balls. They like mushy steamed broccoli. One of our cats would go a mile for some steamed broccoli. Put some nutritional yeast in there. If there are fleas, put some brewer's yeast in there. So you just have to be careful, and you just have to be vigilant. And lots of water.
Right. So really, in your opinion, improper cat food could be, in some cases, a contributing factor, even a major factor, in problems with cystitis.
Yeah, absolutely. And people say, well, cats can't be vegetarian. Well, actually, there are things like veggie cat, which has taurine and other vital things that cats must have, that don't come from slaughterhouse ingredients that go into what's called the 4D bins, which is dead, dying, diseased, and disabled. And those are the meats that go into even the fanciest, most expensive cat foods. They're not fit for human consumption, so they go to dog and cat food. So I would be very careful to look at your cat's diet and make sure they're getting really good nutrients. Don't just, you know, buy something because it's costly, but look at the health consequences too. And cystitis is a real problem, especially if you have more than a few cats. It can go through a whole household, males and females alike, and it could be fatal, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it really seems to be a major problem. I'm happy to say our guest is Ingrid Newkirk, the founder of the organization People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And Ingrid has a new book out, which is really fun, actually, 250 Vital Things Your Cat Wants You to Know. It's also, besides being fun, it's actually some important stuff about your cat. Now, Ingrid, I noticed that in the book, you mentioned the idea of having not just one cat, but two cats, and you feel that that actually works, you know, it works for you, and also you think it works for the cats. So what are we looking for when we're going to have two cats in the house?
I think the first thing is always adopt, never shop, because there is this cat overpopulation crisis that we have now. Too many cats, not enough homes, let alone good homes to go around. So go down to the local shelter, please. And I always think two cats is better than one. They keep each other company. So if you're at the movies, you're at work, you're somewhere, these two get to know each other, and they get to be fond of each other. They get bonded, and they can have a good time together. They're not always looking to make sure they're lonely and they want to know where you are. They still love you, and you'll have twice as much love. But they need to be compatible. And I do have tips in the book. If you've already got one cat, how to introduce another cat to that other cat, because usually they'll be a bit territorial at first, and they'll say, not coming into my house. And so you have to be gentle and diplomatic, and that will pass in almost all cases.
And now, Ingrid, can I, a personal question, do you have two or more cats in your home?
Actually, before the pandemic, I traveled too much, don't have any cats anymore, did have wonderful cats for many years, but I am a cat auntie. So I have cats in the office, and I look after other people's cats.
Oh, that's really nice. The idea of owning a pet, a cat or a dog or a parakeet or a parrot, are you in favor of that, or do you feel that that is just not a good idea in general?
Well, I think ownership basically describes your relationship with a pair of sneakers, not with a live animal, because animals are emotional beings. They're family members. You have to have the time and the patience and the understanding and the money for veterinary care. I run into so many people who have put off going to the vet because vet care is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fork it over, even if you have to pawn something that cat needs or that other animal needs medical care just as you would. So I do believe there are so many homeless animals. They desperately need loving, caring, respectful homes. But I don't think it's ownership. I think that's not a word that I'm fond of when it comes to having guardianship of an animal.
Oh, guardianship. Yeah, that really does sound very nice. I'm happy to say that our guest is Ingrid Newkirk, the author of a nice new book called 250 Vital Things Your Cat Wants You to Know. Now, when you have a big cat in the house, you know, let's say a mature cat, and you bring in like a little, let's say a baby cat, does that work out best? Do you feel it's better for the owners to have baby cats that they kind of nurture into adulthood, or is it okay to adopt full-grown cats?
Well, it's wonderful if there's some poor old cat who maybe their person has died, and they've ended up confused, alone, worried, in a shelter, and they need another home. And it may not be for many, many years. That's wonderful, too. You do have to be careful bringing an older cat into another older cat's home, because they may be territorial, but they'll probably manage. Bringing a younger cat into an older cat's home is usually much, much easier, because the young cat, especially a kitten, will amuse the old cat. The old cat can't resist watching that little kitten jump and run and play and be reminded of their own youth, probably. But, I mean, kittens together, two of them are great fun, and they'll grow up together, and they'll only know your home as their home once they put the rest of it behind them.
And Ingrid, your new book is 250 Vital Things Your Cat Wants You to Know. Where can we purchase your new book?
You can get 250 Vital Things on Amazon or anywhere else. But also for that, or for anything you would like to know about animals and how to help them, because there's tips on spaying and neutering, how to get them out of laboratories, how to look after strays, how to travel with them, you name it. PETA.org is also a good resource.
PETA. So that's PETA.org. And so once again, what's the contact info for PETA?
It's PETA.org, PETA.org. We've got all sorts of tips on it about every kind of animal under the sun. And you can find out what's going on with animals in circuses and entertainment, in dissection, I mean, wherever. And we've got a million things that you can do to get involved. We're very glad when people help.
Our guest has been Ingrid Newkirk, the founder, the president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, a very influential animal rights, but really more than animal rights, environmental group, PETA. I'm a big fan, actually. And Ingrid has a brand new book out, 250 Vital Things Your Cat Wants You to Know. Kim Basinger wrote an introduction, but the new book is 250 Vital Things Your Cat Wants You to Know by Ingrid Newkirk. A really fun book, great for the holidays, and actually a lot of important tips about caring successfully for your pet cat. This is Josh Lane. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after these important messages.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. Most American diets are low in cold water fish that are abundant in important omega-3 oils. DHA and EPA are the vital components of fish oil that provide healthy benefits. Not only are they crucial for brain and vision development, they're very important for cardiovascular health. Carlson, America's leading Norwegian fish oil brand, specializes in both great-tasting soft gels that are easy to swallow and fish oil liquids that don't taste fishy. That's right, Carlson provides the most extensive line of fish oils to meet all your needs. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. That's right. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today.
U-Theory is a family-owned and operated supplement brand on a mission to inspire wellness in all. From farm to shelf, quality is at the heart of our products made in Southern California. Try new U-Theory Daily Fat Burner for healthy weight management. U-Theory Turmeric to support healthy inflammation response. U-Theory Collagen for hair, skin, nails, tendons, and ligaments. And Ashwagandha to help reduce stress, boost overall well-being and clarity. U-Theory, made for all of you.
Welcome to this edition of Here's to Your Health. I'm your host, Joshua Lane. And my guest is Professor Christopher Shaw. And Professor Shaw is the author of a very good new book called Dispatches from the Vaccine Wars, Fighting for Human Freedom During the Great Reset. And Professor Shaw has investigated problems associated with aluminum found in various vaccines and how they are cause terrible health problems in us who take these vaccines. It's a controversial subject because the powerhouse people, the pharmaceutical industries, don't seem to want us to know about problems with aluminum added to vaccines. Professor Christopher Shaw, welcome to Here's to Your Health.
Thank you. Good morning.
Very happy to have you on the show today. Your new book is Dispatches from the Vaccine Wars. Now, as a PhD, and again, Professor Shaw, what university are you currently associated with right now?
Well, I'm currently associated with the University of British Columbia. And that may be, sorry about that, that may be short-lived because the university is coming with some regulations that basically are going to make it impossible for people who are not vaccinated to continue their work.
Oh. Okay, so that's really very upsetting to actually, you know, be coerced into taking a vaccine or losing your livelihood, your profession. So that seems really wrong. Now, what was the original research that you did about vaccination years ago? Because I'm assuming that you've been studying vaccine issues for many years, not just the past 2 years.
I mean that's very true. I've been looking at the whole issue of aluminum since about 2005. So, you know, we're approaching 16 years now. The main focus of my laboratory is on Lou Gehrig's disease, and that's how we got into the whole idea of looking at aluminum. We were looking for another cluster of neurological disease, and that was provided by Gulf War Syndrome, in which the vaccines that the soldiers took were implicated as part of the reason for Gulf War Syndrome, which had an ALS component. So we followed that. We did some experiments, and that led us down to a whole series of experiments. In fact, when we started looking at the possibility that aluminum in vaccines was related to autism spectrum disorder. And we've just kept following that thread ever since. That has been kind of a constant of our work since 2000. pointy end of the stick here of the COVID pandemic and the response of the authorities around the world is for mass vaccination of the entire population. Bill Gates has said it. You know, it doesn't end until 7 billion people get a jab in their arm. And we've seen that play out across the world, especially here in North America, where, again, the mandates here in Canada are extreme. I think it would be very hard to describe Canada as a free country anymore.
Right.
And where universities feel safe to basically take away the livelihood of people who will not accept the double jab. And that's kind of where we're at with that. And again, we're firing police officers, we're dismissing soldiers, calling them disloyal who won't take the shots, where we can't even fly out of our own country anymore unless we have the shots. So it has become that extreme level that, you know, many of us feared it might become. And, you know, we're living that reality right now.
Right. Our guest is Professor Christopher Shaw, who has a very good new book out called Dispatches from the Vaccine Wars, Fighting for Human Freedom During the Great Reset. And these are very important issues. These are very important issues about people losing their livelihood because they won't take experimental medications. It's really very upsetting, and it's certainly upsetting for the men and women who literally can no longer be police officers or firemen or college professors or school teachers because someone decided that this unproven, untested remedy is must be taken. And also, Professor Shaw, you originally worked on problems associated with the anthrax vaccine. Now, what year was that, and what did you find out about the anthrax vaccine?
Well, the anthrax vaccine, as you know, was given to soldiers in the first Gulf War, whether or not they deployed. And one of the things that we saw was, as we began to try and work on it, we couldn't get the vaccine itself. But what we could see is that we could obtain the same kind of aluminum adjuvant that was used in the vaccine. That was aluminum hydroxide. So all we did is inject that into mice, and with an appropriate control group, which I'll note as a sidebar that most of the vaccine companies don't actually have control groups. So we did that, and we saw an enormous difference right away in the motor behavior of the animals that were injected with aluminum hydroxide, and that inside the nervous system there was abundant levels of pathology. Motor neurons were dying, other kinds of cells were affected, there was increase in neuroinflammation. These became the kind of features that others have seen as well, whether it's in humans or in sheep, in a series of studies coming from various laboratories, Luis Lujan in Spain, Romain Girardi in France, Yehuda Schoenfeld in Israel, all saw much the same sorts of things. So it's very clear, and of course it follows on the work of Chris Exley, you know, who's was probably the leader in aluminum research in the world. It follows all of those investigators have shown that aluminum is highly toxic. So when you inject it into a mouse or a human or a sheep, it basically goes, in many cases, into the brain. And the work of the Girardi group has clearly demonstrated the trajectory. So it's not the same as when you eat something that has aluminum in it. Most of us excrete aluminum extremely effectively. Now, the difference is, you know, at both ends of the age spectrum, when you're very young, your kidneys aren't mature. When you're older, your kidneys may be less functional. But most of your life, you're getting rid of virtually all of the aluminum you take orally. That's not true for injected aluminum. And so the more of that injected aluminum you get, the more of it's going to wind up in your brain. And aluminum is not is not an element that is particularly beneficial to life. In fact, it's the opposite. And so aluminum only has negative effects in biological systems. And that's why biological systems on Earth, anyway, spend an enormous amount of time getting it out. We're trying to prevent it from getting in. Vaccines basically bypass that normal route of excretion. And so now it winds up in compartments of your body that you don't want to. And there's a host of health issues associated with aluminum. And many of these have been known for a long time. You know, one could say that, you know, up until the current vaccine schedule, you know, that came into place in the United States and elsewhere, it was less of a problem, even though it was toxic, because the children just received far fewer vaccines. Well, that's no longer true. They received so many more. Most of them, 2/3, are adjuvanted with aluminum. And you're going to then, in my view, with some children based on some genetic susceptibilities, you're going to have problems. And that's, I think, one of the reasons we see an increase in autism spectrum disorder over time. And it's an explosive increase, and that has continued to go up over the years. And I don't think that's going to change. Now, what the mRNA vaccines do is although they don't have aluminum, as far as we know, they still add that extra component of interfering with neural function. And that's something, you know, that I for one worry about, and as do a number of other people.
Our guest is Dr. Christopher Shaw. His book is Dispatches from the Vaccine Wars. Dr. Shaw, so you're saying that, in your opinion, based on the studies that you have done and other scientists have done around the world, that the anthrax vaccine given to American servicemen had aluminum hydroxide, and that this aluminum hydroxide is a major factor in problems with motor function and could also significantly push men or other women, soldiers or others, into problems with, say, ALS or MS?
Lou Gehrig's disease, so ALS, it's called amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In that case, I think that's true. But, I mean, again, I want to emphasize that a great number of vaccines have aluminum adjuvants as well. And they can create problems in adults, but primarily I think they create problems in young children where you don't have a completely sealed blood-brain barrier. And when they get into your brain, they're not going to do anything beneficial. They're only going to do harm. And so that's become the focus of our research, has gone from looking at the ALS features that occurred in service people and we're using animal models to document it, but, you know, more over to look at what can happen if you do it in very young children, where, you know, their blood-brain barrier is not completely closed and where aluminum is going to find greater access.
Dr. Shaw, my question for you is, when you reported these findings, when you wrote up your research, what happened to your research and to your career?
When we wrote up the research, I think we found two things that were of interest. One is that the official medical establishment, the NIH, FDA, CDC, basically ignored it or said it was wrong. But then, of course, they could posit no contrary information except to state that aluminum had been used for 50 years or 60 years at that point, and there was no problem. Well, that wasn't true. So they basically proceeded to ignore it. And that's odd because there are alternatives to aluminum adjuvants in vaccines if they wanted to explore them. The impact on the career is, my career, we were rapidly branded as anti-vaxxers, which was odd. But so have all of the people who worked on this topic have been branded as anti-vaxxers. And that seems to be the standard way they approach any dissent within scientific ranks. They do no research of their own on the subject. If you actually go to the NIH, CDC, or FDA and ask them the basis, scientific basis, can they cite any scientific literature on which they rely for the notion that aluminum is safe for vaccines, they can't produce any articles. We've done that through access to information requests. And none of those organizations can produce any documents, which is odd. So it basically means they don't have any direct research that shows the opposite. So those of us who have been looking at research and actually doing the research for about aluminum adjuvants are finding that there's no contrary evidence being cited. They're just assuming that that's the case and therefore that it must be safe. And again, in science, you don't assume anything, or you shouldn't assume anything. And certainly when it comes to human health, you shouldn't assume anything. And yet that's what all three agencies have done.
Our guest is Professor Christopher Shaw. Christopher Shaw is the author of Dispatches from the Vaccine Wars, Fighting for Human Freedom During the Great Reset. Professor Shaw, this is all, you know, very upsetting information. Certainly we don't want our servicemen ill for the rest of their lives as a result of anthrax vaccines, which contained aluminum, which was undesirable, and they're still using it. And have the vaccine manufacturers moved to aluminum because there was so much controversy and unhappiness and bad effects from using mercury? Was that why there was a bigger move to aluminum?
No, actually not. They're used for different things. Mercury is used as a antibacterial agent in multi-user vials, and that's the basic reason for it. And again, as Kennedy and others have demonstrated, mercury is not very, very good in the nervous system at all. Mm-hmm. Aluminum has been used since 1926. As an adjuvant, in other words, it's a way to basically hyperstimulate the immune system. And when the original discoverers of this stimulation were working, they basically were trying to make the problems they were having with the diphtheria vaccine to make the antibody levels stay high, which they were not doing. So they started messing around with different chemicals and found aluminum was able to do that. And they've used it in vaccines ever since. Not all vaccines are adjuvanted with aluminum, but about two-thirds are. And so it's increased in use as the number of vaccine doses and types have increased over the years. And so what you might have received back in 1926 or 1930 or even as late as the 1960s, cumulative weight of 72 doses of those 16 vaccines. What you're seeing is a big, what I think is a large body burden of aluminum being put into, especially in the children. Again, with the soldiers deploying, they got not only the anthrax vaccine, but they got something like 24 other vaccines in a very short space of time. And so the combination of all those doses of aluminum in the soldiers propelled some of them, I believe, into Gulf War syndrome, which had a Lou Gehrig's disease component and a Parkinson's component. But and you put that into a small child, it's pretty much the same dose you give to an adult, and you now have the potential to disrupt neural function. And that's exactly what happens in the experimental models. And that's exactly what's been seen with the work of Romain Girardi with human patients in France. So you're looking at a cumulative weight of aluminum, which is a toxic metal. And, when you mention mercury, yes, that's also toxic. And especially in cases where you had both aluminum and mercury in the same vaccine, I think you have the real potential for a serious harm. Now, that doesn't exist very much anymore because mercury has largely been removed from vaccines. But when it was there, it's certainly exacerbating the problem that aluminum is, I believe, the main driver. And so, the fact that they took mercury out of most vaccines except for influenza, that was good. But also, they've never bothered to consider an alternative to aluminum. And that's sort of ridiculous because they actually have alternatives that choose not to use them. And this is essentially a corporate decision, I believe, because to reboot all of their vaccines without aluminum would require a different adjuvant system, which companies are reluctant to do, but it would cost time and money. So they just carry on. There had been calls in France and elsewhere to remove all aluminum from vaccines, and the companies in France and elsewhere resisted those calls because they simply didn't want to do it. So we're left with a situation where, even though the literature is, I think, quite striking, and I detail it in the book, the literature is quite striking, and yet it is largely ignored by government because they simply don't want to enforce it.
We have our guest is Christopher Shaw, Professor Christopher Shaw. The book is Dispatches from the Vaccine Wars, published by Skyhorse Publishing. Has some really very important books out. Professor Shaw, we have about 1 minute left. What can listeners of Here's to Your Health do to protect themselves against these serious consequences of being injected with aluminum in all the vaccines we're getting?
Well, I can only tell your listeners what I do is I've served in the military here in Canada. I have been exposed to vaccines, and I refuse to take any that have aluminum in them. I just don't want that in my body because I know what happens to it in the body. And so that may just be me, but I suggest that your listeners might want to inquire a little more stringently to their physicians when they're about to be vaccinated with anything and make sure, insofar as they can, that they're not taking any vaccines that have aluminum in them. And a lot of physicians simply aren't aware of that. And you may have to educate your own physician to help them realize that aluminum is toxic, and that repeated doses of it are likely or possibly going to create problems down the line. And if they need the literature, I'm certainly happy to supply it for anyone who would like to see it. That would be my short recommendation. Again, it's not medical advice; it's scientific advice. But I think that's the best way to go. That's certainly what I do.
Thank you very much. Our guest has been Professor Christopher A. Shaw, and the book, newly published by Skyhorse Publishing, is Dispatches from the Vaccine Wars, Fighting for Human Freedom During the Great Reset, again, by Christopher Shaw. Really worthwhile information that really can protect yourself. This is Josh Lane. You're listening to Here's to Your Health. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Have you had your Carlson Norwegian fish oil today? Decades ago, scientists discovered why Greenland Eskimos maintain healthy hearts despite their high-fat diets. The high level of omega-3 oils in their seafood diet protected their hearts. Carlson Norwegian fish oil provides those important omega-3 oils. The same omega-3s from cold water fish support maximum brain power, immune strength, joint comfort, and our vision too. Carlson, the very finest fish oil, is a valuable source of the important omega-3s EPA and DHA. Each teaspoon provides a full 1,600 milligrams of omega-3s. And its purity is guaranteed. Try it on salads and popcorn. It tastes like lemon, not fishy. As for Carlson, the very finest fish oil at finer health food stores today.
U-Theory is a family-owned and operated supplement brand on a mission to inspire wellness in all. From farm to shelf, quality is at the heart of our products made in Southern California. Try new U-Theory Daily Fat Burner for healthy weight management. U-Theory Turmeric to support healthy inflammation response. U-Theory Collagen for hair, skin, nails, tendons, and ligaments. And Ashwagandha to help reduce stress, boost overall well-being and clarity. U-Theory, made for all of you.
Welcome to this edition of Here's to Your Health. I'm your host, Josh Lane. I'm happy to say my guest is Tom Palladino. Tom Palladino, known for his work with Scalar Light, and Tom's a return guest to the show. And the discussion is, you know, healing the body using the techniques that Tom has learned through study of earlier scientists who did a lot of research on this subject, including Tesla, who's well known to most of us. And it's an important subject about a method of healing that seems to be effective and seems to kind of be groundbreaking. Tom, welcome to Here's to Your Health.
Thank you so much, Josh.
I'm very happy to have you on. Now, you called it, your work, Scalar Light. Now, please explain to the audience what the thinking is, what's the ideas behind the therapy.
Sure. It's Scalar Light. It's not electricity. So we're working with a different energy spectrum than that of electricity. And the key to this is we're working with information, Josh. It's an information system. Some people call that quantum light or quantum healing. And the key is that we're working with this different dimension, this different energy, in which there are so many possibilities with scalar energy as opposed to electricity. So when you're working in a quantum realm or with scalar energy, it's an advanced form of energy. It's much more perfect. You have a greater mastery over nature with scalar energy as opposed to with electricity.
All right, all right. Now, our guest is Tom Palladino, who is the inventor behind a Scalar Light. Now, Tom, as I understand it, I think you've made the claim that that you can actually, some scientists who preceded you were able to grow plants in the dark. And
yes.
How does that tie in with your work on Scalar Light?
You're right. My predecessor, a man by the name of Hieronymus, was able to grow plants in the dark. So working with this energy, which is sunlight or starlight, we're able to, if you will, command nature. Now, if this man, Hieronymus, can grow plants in the dark, then I can likewise use this energy, scalar energy, to improve human health. The key to this, Josh, is to really inculcate the fact that this is a new and emerging science. We're working with scalar energy. We're not working with electricity. And with that in mind, the field of opportunity is so much greater working with this type of energy.
Our guest is Tom Palladino, who is the inventor and the innovator behind Scalar Light. Now, this Scalar Light, so it's not electricity, and so am I correct to say this, it's the energy from the stars and planets? Is that correct?
Yes. Right. It's the energy that originates from the stars, so we're working with what some people might call quantum energy or life force energy. And again, what is so peculiar about this energy is that it transcends time and space. It's a dimension. So this energy fills the universe. And once we access that energy, it's a different set of rules and laws that energy abides by. And what I have found with this energy, it controls matter. That's so important. In other words, we can create what is favorable to people, or we can disassemble, we can break apart what is unfavorable. So it's the key here is that we're working with this quantum energy that controls molecular forms, that we can create a molecule or break down a molecule at will.
All right. Now, I don't necessarily really have a great science background. I don't necessarily understand that. But as I understand it, that you have worked with a hospital in Delhi, in India, with HIV patients using your Scalar Light technique. So what was that? How did you participate in that event?
there is an HIV clinic that I am working with in Delhi, India. And when I work with these scalar energy instruments, I work exclusively by way of a photograph of a person. So I'm able to access the quantum dimension or the quantum signature of a person by way of their photograph. So by way of the photographs of people in Delhi, India, who were suffering from HIV, I was able to work and make a connection in that quantum dimension. And in so doing, by way of my studying and calibrating these instruments, I can detect the presence and absence of the HIV virus through the quantum realm by way of their photograph. Well, after I worked with these people with the scalar energy instrument, many of them had follow-up diagnostic tests. And all of those tests proved to be negative. No viral load for HIV, none. So that begs the question, why? How did that happen? And did the scalar light instrument have any part in that type of technology?
All right. Our guest is Tom Palladino, discussing scalar light. Now, my question for you is, you use photos to work with patients. You don't need to see the patient in person. Now, how does that work? I don't understand the concept.
Yes, I work with photographs. What does that mean? These instruments are able to pick up the energetic signal on a photograph. And once you do that, you're making a connection with a person energetically by way of this quantum field, by way of this information field. So I can send energy anywhere in the world by virtue of the fact of a photograph. If you can think of a satellite can send signals to TV dishes and to GPS units. My instrument works like a satellite, but the point of reference is a photograph of a person. So this is the new and emerging science of scalar energy.
All right, now, Tom, now, I don't understand that. So what does the photograph represent me in what way?
Yes, it does represent you. It represents everything about you in the quantum realm, in the scalar energy realm, not the electromagnetic realm. So your photograph is your present-day immediate constitution. Your soul, mind, and body is incorporated on a photograph. This is what we have found. A photograph is the actual report card, so to speak, of your constitution.
Well, that seems okay. So that's kind of, you know, new science. I don't understand it. So, but you have had success over the years. People send you their photograph, and then what's the technique that you employ?
Well, I've been able to create these instruments to control molecular forms. So if somebody sends me their photograph, I can, for instance, detect a virus or a toxin upon their photograph and then send energy into the photograph to break apart that toxin or that pathogen. Or in reverse, if somebody, say, is deficient in a vitamin, say vitamin D or the B-complex vitamins, I can assemble vitamins through their photograph. Now, again, this is the new science of scalar energy in which we're working with non-physical reality or information, and everything is done by way of a photograph of a person. So with that in mind, I am working with people around the world through their quantum field exclusively by way of their photograph.
All right, and so our guest is Tom Palladino. Again, Tom is a return guest to the show, and we're chatting about his concept of healing called using scalar light. Tom, how is your work in using the photographs to heal patients, heal people, how is that similar or different to the idea of the aura photograph?
It's the same. It's identical. So when we speak about aura or the spirit body, that's what I'm tapping into, which is non-physical, the aura. So if people can see an aura, or people claim that they have the soul, and you know, many religions believe in the soul, that's what I'm tapping into, that dimension. It's non-physical. It's the spiritual dimension that I'm tapping into.
And this spiritual dimension that you have discovered through the work of, you know, men who lived, you know, 100 years before you, you know, and so you have worked with patients. I guess people are practical. They say, listen, Tom, we have this X health problem. Can you help us with it? So you have used their photographs, and yes. Then you have technology you developed. You have tools you've developed. Is that it? Instrumentation?
Correct. They are calibrated instruments. They are custom-built instruments. I frankly don't believe anybody in the world is doing what I'm doing, because the instruments are indeed custom-built. But we're working with people around the world and animals and their pets, and we're seeing an improvement in their well-being, an improvement in their health. So this is emerging science. There is merit to this. It's not quite accepted by academia yet, but it will be someday.
And Tom, at this juncture, how can listeners of Here's to Your Health contact you to find out more about your work?
Our website is scalarlight.com, and the best way is to view the website and then sign up. We offer 15 days of free sessions to anybody in the world. So if this is of interest to you, sign up to the website. Anybody in the world can upload their photograph. We'll treat anybody in the world for free for 15 days.
Okay, please, our guest is Tom Palladino. Spell Scalar for the listeners.
It's S-C-A-L-A-R, scalarlight.com.
And Tom, how is your healing work different from prayer?
It's identical. That's a good question. Scalar energy is prayer in motion, so to speak. So the analog of my scalar energy instruments would be prayer.
And again, how can the listeners implement scalar light technology? So what do they? What's the procedure they do?
Okay, visit our website, scalarlight.com. Read a few of the articles, be comfortable with it, and once you are, then upload your photographs. We will work with your emailed photographs. You don't have to do anything. We will prove to you that this works. All you have to do is send us your 15-day, for a 15-day session, your photographs by email.
All right. Now, you, again, you've worked with HIV patients at a clinic in Delhi, in India, successfully. Now, that actually seems like a serious health problem. What other health problems have you had really good success with?
You know, I've got great success when I'm working with microbes, Josh. I'm able to command this energy to break down pathogens such as bacteria, fungi, protozoans. So many people who come to us have a viral infection or a bacterial infection. And that's one of my specialties. I have calibrated these instruments so that we can easily break down germs, pathogens. So in the future, I think this will be embraced as the way to eradicate pathogenic disease.
So, and what type of pathogenic disease are we referring to here?
Anything from herpes infection to hepatitis, cytomegalovirus, tuberculosis, malaria, dengue fever, the common flu, HIV, as we've discussed, malaria. Now, there are thousands of diseases that are caused by germs, and we can eradicate those germs.
And when people send you their photo and you use your instrumentation to, I usually would examine the photo or work with the photo,
yeah.
How soon do people feel for results? For example, let's say you receive a photo and then you begin working on it. Do people say, gee, Tom, we actually feel better the next day or in 10 minutes or instantaneously? I mean, what do people report?
I would say that, on average, the majority of people feel a shift and improvement within the first week, 6, 7, 8 days. And thereafter, after the full trial, the 15-day trial, I would say most of the people feel some improvement in their health. Now, it's difficult to pinpoint it. Why? Because this is a new and emerging science, and people have never tried this before. But most people get the hang of it, and after they continue on month after month, they will see an improvement in their health. Now, keep in mind, people don't have to do anything. That's one of the bright spots with my quantum work. You simply send me a photograph. You email a photograph to me. You don't have to do anything. The energy does the healing. You don't have to change your diet or your exercise regimen. You don't have to change a thing. The energy is the healing. The energy is the prime mover.
The energy that it just occurs naturally in our bodies.
It is in our body, but the source of that energy is the sun and the stars. So I really want to put forward that notion that this is natural energy, energy from the cosmos, from the sun and the stars. Meaning what? Well, people will experience an improvement in the health because this is not a chemical reaction. It's pure energy. It's immaculate energy from the universe.
All right. It's Tom. Our guest is Tom Palladino. Scalar Light, talking about his work healing the body, including work with healing patients, people who had HIV in India, and, you know, talk about herpes simplex and all these things that really affect, you know, a great many of us. And again, Tom feels that this is prayer. So, Tom, as we come to the end of the interview, so the Scalar Light kind of taps into the same mode of healing that prayer does?
Yes, it does, because, again, it is non-physical. It's, I believe it's a divine energy, and it can only do good. That's the key to this research. I have tapped into the dimension in which it's a divine dimension that only good can take place.
Well, that sounds great. And Tom, do me a favor. Our guest is Tom Palladino. Tom, give us your contact information once again, please.
Yes, scalarlight.com, S-C-A-L-A-R. Visit the website. Anybody in the world can sign up for the free sessions.
Our guest has been Tom Palladino, the inventor behind Scalar Light, which seems to be a very interesting healing technique that people seem very happy with, frankly. So I'm happy that to have you. Please go to Tom's website, Scalar Light. That's S-C-A-L-A-R, Light, Scalar Light. This is Josh Lane. You're listening to Here's to Your Health. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after these important messages.
The latest from the greatest, the best in new music by classic rockers, with your host, the insane Daryl Wayne.
This is Alice Cooper, and if Daryl Wayne is insane, what does that make me? Criminally insane. Stick around to find out.
Many of the artist interviews from the latest from the greatest have been captured on audiobook. There is a volume one and volume two. Great information and conversations with people in the industry and people surrounded by the industry, and of course the rock stars themselves.
I'm the Reverend Al Green, and you're listening to the insane Daryl Wayne. And I said, Wayne Insane.
You can find it on Amazon or Blackstone Audio. Search for The Latest from the Greatest from Daryl Wayne, D-A-R-R-E-L-L-W-A-Y-N-E.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the insane Daryl Wayne, aren't you?
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Here's to Your Health with Joshua Lane. If you have any questions about the guests or topics discussed tonight, please give us a call at 818-707-0005. That number is 818-707-0005. This is Josh Lane. On behalf of the cast and crew, I would like to wish you a healthy and safe good evening.
U-Theory is a family-owned and operated supplement brand on a mission to inspire wellness in all. From farm to shelf, quality is at the heart of our products made in Southern California. Try new U-Theory Daily Fat Burner for healthy weight management. U-Theory Turmeric to support healthy inflammation response. U-Theory Collagen for hair, skin, nails, tendons, and ligaments. And Ashwagandha to help reduce stress, boost overall well-being and clarity. U-Theory, made for all of you.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. Most American diets are low in cold water fish that are abundant in important omega-3 oils. DHA and EPA are the vital components of fish oil that provide healthy benefits. Not only are they crucial for brain and vision development, they're very important for cardiovascular health. Carlson, America's leading Norwegian fish oil brand, specializes in both great-tasting soft gels that are easy to swallow and fish oil liquids that don't taste fishy. That's right, Carlson provides the most extensive line of fish oils to meet all your needs. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. That's right. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today.